All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1134 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, August 1st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. Pick up Ohana gear at cafefress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I got a great lineup for you today. And I'm sitting here trying to make an adjustment to one of the titles on the site is the show starting. Didn't get it repositioned from the previous show, but there we go. Just got to turn the knob the right way. For those of you that are watching, rest of you listening could care less. But hey, warm welcome to all the Hana, all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family, of course. And if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to Geek News Central Podcast. Got a lot of great content for you to go through tonight, and lots to talk about, of course. But, you know, this show has been around since October of 04, and the key thing in getting connected with this show is simply going over to the website and subscribing. And we want you to be part of our subscriber base. We want you to be part of our Ohana. And to do that, all you got to do is subscribe via iTunes, on Android, via email. You can do it on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, or via standard RSS feed. And if you don't know what any of that means, you just click on the more subscribe options. And I'm going to take you on a journey on how to get connected to the show. A little bit further down on the website, you can always listen to the show with the Geek News Central radio stream. It's a live stream of the last three episodes, always in constant play. You join the show in progress, or you just click play on the website. You also can get connected via the newsletter on the website. Of course, you want to check out all the great content my writing team is putting together on a daily basis, all the stuff that's being posted there. And of course, all the past episodes are available as well on the website. So really, there's no excuse. Just get connected to the show. We want you to be part of the Ohana, be part of the family here. And if you always, you know, what's great about this show is if you ever have issues or you want to make a comment, you just email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. And I read all listener email on the show. So positive, negative, everything in between goes on. So feel free to do that. And of course, on Twitter, you can find me at Geek News. And of course, then on Facebook, Google Plus, really any place social media is, just search for Todd Cochran and you'll find me. You can watch this show, of course, on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, on the Apple TV by subscribing to the Geek News Central video feed. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Sorry if I just reset some Alexas out there. I wasn't supposed to say it that way. Stitcher, Blueberry.com, lots of places to listen. And, of course, we want you to get connected with our partner shows. On the website, we got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. We got The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We have the new media show that I co-host with Mr. Rob Greenlee. And, of course, our writers take care of their Pro Gear site at progear.guru. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. And I want to just, I mentioned it on the last show, but thank you for your support in the month of July. From everything I'm seeing right now, it will have been a record month. We'll know in a couple of days when the GoDaddy team does the final tabulation. But thank you for your support and your ongoing sharing the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, tweeting the link, Facebooking it, that you all do. I so greatly appreciate it very, very much. For those of you that are new or haven't considered up to this point on picking up starting a website, whether it be revamping a business site, whether it be starting a blog, whether it be starting a podcast, I've got great deals for you that are ongoing. And, you know, I think the main thing, too, is, you know, sometimes I do my best thinking in the shower early in the morning and ideas come to me. And if you have an idea, it has something that pops in your head that is like, wow, I could do this. It starts with a 99cent.com by using the promo code CJCGNC99. It's a one-time use code. You get a great deal on a domain name. Of course, we got 30% off on GoDaddy products and services, all at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. With all the codes there, you can save money on your website builder, on economy hosting, on managed WordPress. All those plans start at $1 a month with a free domain for the first year. Please make sure you look at the details on the website at GoDaddy when you get over there to use those codes so that you know what the cost reverts to after the dollar a month runs out in 1 year. Don't want anybody getting any surprises, and all the deals or all the plans over there are super affordable, upgradable. If you decide you know, that all of a sudden it's getting big and you need a little more horsepower underneath the hood, you can always upgrade. So keep that in mind as well. So again, all my codes are geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, you know, this we're now 11 years moving forward. Last month was the anniversary month of GoDaddy being a sponsor here 11 years. And it leads into some things I want to talk about here. Well, I guess I can do it now. You know, it's pretty humbling at this point where this show is. You know, from an audience standpoint, it's hard to believe that we're already at 1,134 episodes on the march to 1,200. We'll get there when we get there. It's August, you know, October. You know, it'll be amazing. We've been, you know, officially in October, it'll be 12 years doing this show. And so many of you have been with the show since single digits. We've got a super fan right now. You know who he is. He started at episode 1 just recently and is working his way through. He's up to, last I checked, 188 episodes, and he's going to be in for a big surprise when he hits the 200 mark, because most of you have been here for a while and know what happened on that episode. You know, it's just, it's been an amazing ride, and I don't say it enough. I'm very humbled and very blessed to have all of you part of this audience. And thank you for tuning in and listen to me squawk on tech, science, and get on my, you know, on my drum and beat on stuff and stand in a barrel and yell at companies in my own way and let me rant. And you know, I really appreciate it. I really, really do. This show is unique in that very few shows have lasted from the beginning of the podcasting. Matter of fact, we were trying to make a determination when we were at Podcast Move. I was talking with Don and Drew, who still do the Don and Drew show. They were around at the very beginning. You know, there's probably, you know, maybe 10 shows, maybe 20 tops that were around from those, you know, early days in podcasting and are still going. One thing, you know, when I was talking with Don and Drew at Podcast Movement, Don hasn't changed a lick. She is the same bubbly, great personality. Drew is still the skateboarder, you know, bad boy, good guy. It's, you know, a dynamic team, those two. And they riff on one another and have a great time. And man, many of us heard their stories. And I know many of you have been here and heard this show's story and my story and have grown up with me in this space. And, you know, we went through the business stuff and, you know, talked about that for years. And, you know, really, I think what triggered me today to kind of start the show off this way was I heard another podcaster that I know, and he was reminiscing and going back. And I don't know, maybe we're all getting melancholy here as we're, you know, been in this space so long. But, you know, I know that you're going to be here every episode, and you guys have as much stake in the show as anybody. You've invested your time, your souls to listen to this show, everything. And it's very, very humbling. So I really thank you again from the bottom of my heart for being here, part of my family, and you know, supporting the sponsors throughout the years. You know, someone asked me, would I still be doing the show if I hadn't had a sponsor, you know, this long? And that's I don't think we would be where we're at. The space, a podcasting space, for God's sake, would not be where it's at based upon everything that has happened. You know, this show starting, and you know, we've talked about this many times, the show starting in that hotel room in Waco, Texas, after I'd gotten hurt in June of 2004, there was a genesis of events that happened because of that injury and because I was in the right place at the right time, and I heard, you know, Dave Weiner and Adam McCurry, and I got the bug, and I, you know, being a, frankly, and I apologize for the word, a shitty blogger to begin with, and then starting the podcast and everyone coming on and everything that happened, the thousands of things that have happened since the show started, has been truly, truly incredible. And it's been an amazing ride. And nope, we're not going anywhere, but I just wanted to say thanks. You know, we're heading into another month and a month of content. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And those of you that are new to understand the history, you just got to hang out a little while and get assimilated into the Ohana here, to the family. But, you know, this weekend we had a birthday party. One of my nieces, who, when we moved to Hawaii, well, not my, it was my wife's niece, was, you know, very young lady, and she's has two children now and a wonderful family. And her child actually had their fifth birthday party, and it's just hanging out with our, you know, with the family. And I kind of, you know, got to thinking in. As well that day, many in our extended family, I don't physically have family here in Hawaii. My wife does. She has aunts and uncles that are true aunts, it's her mother's mother moved to Hawaii at some point after the war. And a long story short, there's a number of children here. So my wife's mother's brothers and sisters and their family are all here. So we have this big extended family here that help us out, and you know, fixing cars and that kind of stuff. It really goes, you know, there's really deep ties here. And they often, I don't think, even know 1/100th of what you guys know about us, me, my family, because I'm here spilling my guts straight to you guys twice a week and everything that goes on. And because this show spends the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show just kind of catching up before we get into the tech, which drives some new listeners absolutely insane, those of you who've been here for a while understand why. And I don't have to explain it no more. Every once in a while I'll get someone complaining. I'm like, this is the way the show's been. And if you don't like that first chitter chatter, you know, slide ahead to 15 minutes. But this is, I think, what makes the show different than most other shows out there, is we try to spend some time with you every time that the new episode gets. And I just want to let you know I appreciate all of you very, very much. Okay, so I'm already 15 minutes. So again, thanks to GoDaddy, you know, and, you know, the genesis of everything with the podcasting space for what I have my part in it is because of them. And I'll be eternally grateful for their support of this show. I really, really am. Number one fan. They've really made it possible. So I hope that you'll support them with your dollars when you're looking for a product or service over there. Okay. So, yes, time to get in my stack of stuff. And we're live on YouTube, and we're live on Facebook tonight. Those of you on Facebook, thanks for being here. And I definitely appreciate it. Rita, thanks for joining tonight and being part of the Ohana. Hello, Rita, when was your first time you listened to the show? How long you been here? Let her answer. We got a lot of ladies that listen to the show, not very many of you. Write in. So feel free to drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. We've got lady geeks in the house, so we want to make sure that content-wise, we're hitting all the right spots there as well. Okay. This is, you know, this morning, of course, and I'm going to just take a second and not necessarily go super tech real quick here, but I want to talk a little bit about the Zika outbreak in Miami. We've got a lot of listeners down in Miami, got a lot of listeners in Florida. Of course, I've got a daughter living in the Tampa area who has gotten engaged and has set a date for her wedding. We're more than a year out from that, but I told her, I said, you and Anthony, I'm worried about you, newlyweds, and probably in the future, maybe some grandkids. Who knows? They haven't discussed that with me, obviously. But one can hope, right? So I'm just like, you need to be careful. And I think all of us, it doesn't matter where you live now. Here in Hawaii, we've got mosquitoes. Not that many. It's not that bad. The trade winds kind of keep them down. But still, certain times of day, they're out and about. And I know it's true, where I grew up. This thing is crazy dangerous, and the CDC issuing a travel warning for somewhere inside the United States is unheard of. So, if you are of childbearing age or thinking of having children, and fellas, this is, I don't think you're exempt here, you need to be careful. We need to be careful throughout the southern states of the United States right now. This is where this at. So we're talking about Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, in all those southern states, California, because we know that this is south of the border. We need know it's already here in the United States, at least in Florida, and it looks like it's migrating north. So, do the things you do to keep mosquitoes down. Get rid of that standing water. Use bug spray to limit mosquito bites. Maybe this is the summer that shorts are not the preferred wear, even though you may be in misery because of the humidity and everything. Or maybe it's time for a little more indoor functions versus out. This is probably not the time to go doing water sports on the bayou. it's time to be careful. And I know many of you can't because where you live, it's just a thing. But, I've been pretty lucky. My mosquitoes, for some reason, kind of avoid me. Whereas my wife, they go after her like crazy. And I don't know what it is. It's maybe the blood type. Who knows? But some people are more prone to get mosquito bites than ever. Spray your kids up. Let's be careful here. This is the real deal and has real serious consequences long term. We're talking about multiple years of concern and the children are being born that have birth defects being affected from this significantly. So let's pay attention and let's inform our neighbors and friends and family members and put the word out. So that we can make sure that everyone we know and as many people in our circles are staying protected, especially if they're in a state where there's been some outbreaks. Be honest with you, I think this thing is going to move fast. And I don't think that, they don't care. It's not, you're a warm, mosquito. All it's looking for is its next meal. And that's all it takes is one mosquito bite. And this virus is, this virus is transferred. So there is a lot of work going on by the CDC on this. There's a new diagnostic tool that could make detecting Zika cheap and easy. So that's being put together by MIT. Out of the MIT, Harvard, University of Toronto, and Cornell University that are presenting tomorrow at the 68th ACC Annual Scientific Meeting and Clinical Lab Expo in Philly. So hopefully we're getting something that will be able to be adopted quickly and off the street. So I don't know what it's going to cost. Oh, about $1 test. So this is going to help Central America, Brazil, Rio, all these places where Zika is really making a huge impact, a negative impact. So we need to be aware that there are tests out there, but more is coming for the population that can't necessarily afford to go see a doctor, something that maybe be able to buy over the counter at some point soon. So let's just keep aware of it, okay? All right, enough on the medical stuff. I just wanted to share, and I had, talking with my daughter today about the same exact thing, and she's as scared as I am about this, and rightfully so. And I think most childbearing age women and their partners should be extremely careful and pick your outdoor sports and activities wisely, okay? Gawker CEO Nick Denton has filed for personal bankruptcy protection. Of course, this is involving a $140 million lawsuit that was filed and won by Hulk Hogan and over his adult videotape that was exploited by Gawker. So him and one other individual at the publication are filing a personal bankruptcy. They're trying to protect their assets at this point because Denton was had a portion of this lawsuit directly against his assets between $10 and $50 million. This is big for him. So this is what a lot of people do. They file for bankruptcy to try to at least keep their home out of the deal. They may not keep much else, but definitely he's trying to protect as much as he can. So Gawker filed for bankruptcy protection as well, and they agreed to sell itself to fellow digital publisher Ziff Davis. I don't know how that works monetarily because someone has still got to get paid, but I'm sure the sale and that money will go towards paying for this lawsuit because I know it's going to be under appeal. But they've had to, put up a certain amount of a bond, I'm sure, in case the appeal fails. So we'll see where this leads. But lots of damage here to that particular group of folks. Washington State has sued Comcast over a deceptive service plan. It's a $100 million lawsuit claiming that the service protection plan was a ripoff. Now, here in Hawaii, we don't have such a thing with, where Oceanic is the name of the company, but it's Time Warner. So there's some sort of a protection plan. The $5 monthly plan was essentially a repair package and was supposed to save you from technician fees. Now, if my internet goes out here, I call the provider and they come out and fix it. I've had issues with cabling before and they've run me a new cable and it's cost me nothing. They've got me up and running, and I've been pretty happy camper. So, as the guy that owned this house before, you don't even want to know how he ran the cable in the building. It's ridiculous, a.k.a. handyman my butt. So, anyway, folks are paying for this $5 monthly plan to relieve yourself of technician fees from Comcast, but it appears that the company conveniently did not tell customers that the plan did not cover the cable wiring itself inside your walls. So, you know, that's probably where a lot of issues start. And customers reportedly lost at least $73 million in wasted subscription fees as a result, because people would come and, oh yeah, it's your cable, and next thing you know, you'd have to pay for that. So, anyway, if you were paying for that plan as part of your cable bill with Comcast, I don't think it's a class action lawsuit, but Washington State is trying to recover some cash in the process. You want to talk just a little bit about Uber? The folks at Uber, they have really done a ditty here, as quite literally. They have merged in China. Uber Technologies, basically Uber's business in China, has now done a deal worth some huge number, where they have joined with Uber's main competition called Didi Chuxing Technology Company. And what's really weird about this is the Chinese competing firm Didi, that was going head-to-head with Uber and Lyft, they actually had a partnership with Lyft and actually have some investment money in Lyft. So now, with Uber and Didi merging, Uber getting, I think, $1 billion to spend on global marketing and building out of their services, they essentially now are a partial owner in Lyft as well. It's totally bizarre. So this merger and this twist is basically Lyft is saying that they're, over the next couple of weeks, are going to be looking at their relationship with Didi. and Uber's going to receive an 18% stake in Didi in China operations. So it's amazing. It really, really is. So Lyft has said that we've always believed Didi had a big advantage in China because of the regulatory environment. Now, Chinese company, right? And now Uber can staunch hemorrhaging money it's spending in China, where it has dumped in billions of dollars to build market share. And we know Uber's raised 6 times more capital than Lyft has. So it's definitely an interesting merger. And why Lyft didn't make a move to merge with Didi before, I don't know. But I guess they thought they were safe with the investment Didi had made in Lyft. But pretty bizarre situation, at least in China. But congrats on Uber on the outmaneuvering deal. Now, you know, we've talked about individuals like Edward Snowden before, and how, you know, he has escaped justice at this point by being in the protection of a Putin. But a veteran FBI geek funneled sensitive information about the FBI to the Chinese government, and now is facing years behind bars. Kunshan Chun, 46, sent organizational charts and photographs of spying technology to a handler in the Middle Kingdom while working as an electronics technician in a New York FBI office. Chun was born in Guangdong, China in 1969, moved to America in 1980 at age 11, and became a naturalized citizen in 1985. He joined the FBI in 1997 and was given a top secret security clearance about a year later. In 2011, while on a trip to Italy and France, he was introduced to a Chinese state official. The pair got chatting, and according to U.S. prosecutors, the G-man, now turned spy, revealed sensitive information to him and then got on the payroll. And the Chinese were providing girls and booze and trips. So this all, here we look at this date time, this timeline. 2011 was when this first started, but it appears, just like any government worker that has a security clearance, every 5 years they get a reinvestigation, and that's basically where they go in and they see what you've been up to for the last 5 years. And when you're a government employee and you have done personal travel to foreign countries, you have to disclose all that. And plus, you know, the government has that information via passport in and out and so forth. But it appears this guy must have been totally stupid, because he took vacations all over Asia. And so anyway, he didn't declare his trips during a security review to Hong Kong, China, as well as Canada, Thailand, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And he was, again, required to disclose, but didn't. So he got some close examination. But he's going to do some hard time here. And here's this individual. Again, another person trusted with sensitive information. And a little cash and some girls made this guy weak in the knees and, you know, essentially has done treason against the United States. So he's going to be in a dark hole and a dark prison for many years to come. So we'll see what kind of a sentence he gets for what he did and what he shared. So my. Just easier to take these guys out once they have been convicted and put them up against a wall. That'll make some of these individuals thinking about betraying the trust of the country to reconsider their actions, knowing that you know, a full of bullets in their bodies after they've done this will be the end result, instead of sticking them in a prison where we have to pay for it from tax. I know some of you say you're overreacting. This shit pisses me off when I hear about people that have done this stuff. And well, we've had spies since the beginning of time. Some things don't change, right? All right, Getty. My. Getty is making some weird comments. And they're like, look over here, look over there, look over there. We're not responsible. It was our... But their story doesn't make a lot of sense. It is... I don't think they have a coherent response to the complaint at this point. This is one thing they said. The content in question has been part of the public domain for many years. It is standard practice for image libraries to distribute and provide access to public domain content. Yes, for free. And it's important to note that distributing and providing access to public domain content is different to asserting copyright ownership of it, the company adds. Well, they were. You're signing for a license to license copyrighted material. Public domain, you don't have... The public domain photographs usually come with a set of rules, but they're public domain. You don't have to pay to use the pictures. You got to just love. I hope Getty has to reach deep, deep, deep. We talked about it at length, but a lot of people are saying that they're making nonsensical statements. And I'm sure Carol Highsmith's lawsuit and her lawyer are just rubbing their palms together. Moving on here, Google parent Alphabet and GlaxoSmithKline have created a $714 million joint venture. The UK's largest pharmaceutical company signed an agreement with Alphabet's life science subsidiary to create a new bioelectronic medicine company. So not biotech, bioelectronic. So what is that code word for? So does that mean sensors and stuff that's maybe like, so bioelectronic, biotech. That's about the same, but anyway, $714 million joint venture to invest in a variety of new technologies. And bioelectronics seek to treat chronic illnesses using tiny implants to change electronic signals that pass along nerves in the body. Oh, very interesting. And again, the announcement comes less than a week after GSK pledged to invest £275 million and three plants in Britain sweeping aside concerns about growth following the country's decision to leave the EU. So, big money investment by Alphabet. All right, most of you playing Pokemon know that they made a big change to the app today. This is what they did in Ingress as well to try to stop some of the cheating that was going on and using GPS. And I just knew it was a matter of time. And what I'm about to say to all of you is that never, ever build your business on top of someone else's technology. Never, ever do your podcast or your blog using a technology that essentially could be pulled off from underneath your feet. And this is what's happened today. A lot of app developers are locked out of the Pokemon Go API. Those that have built separate systems using social media and so forth are still in the game. PokeRadar is still working great. It's up and running. But, you know, people go to all lengths to play this game. One guy did a mod to his Tesla so he can play Pokemon Go on the go, which is, to me, is insane that the guy would modify his operating system or whatever he was doing there. But that's a true fan taking a $120,000 vehicle and make it into a Poke playing machine. Crazy. So, but anyway, that, you know, Niantic Smart, some of the changes probably will upset some of you, but they'll fix what was wrong and bring it back, and it'll be better. And gameplay will be better for most people too, because the ones that are usually complaining the louders are cheating the most. Again, the tracking capability has been changed. So if you haven't updated your app, you'll get it soon. It's being told by NASA that SpaceX is going to be estimated to spend $300 million on its Red Dragon Mars mission. This is a big amount of money that they're investing on their own on the Red Dragon Mars lander. And basically, it shows that they've got a long-term strategy here, that it's a down payment on the company's long-term ambitions for human Mars missions. So it's a little bit of an overview in this NASA post, and basically from information that was put out. I'll have that link up in the show notes. There's a Defense Meteorological Satellite System called DMSP-19, and apparently it stopped accepting commands in February because of a power failure. So our taxpayer dollars down the drain on this one. But these satellites, you know, they can take a micro hit and take out, you know, just small electronics part and take the satellite out. But NOAA has been able to control the satellite. It remains in a safe, stable configuration and continues to provide some real-time tactical weather, but doesn't give the type of data that they're really able to exploit to the level that they want to, but a little more space news. There's also a good interview with Scott Kelly about the physiological challenges of going to Mars. I'm not going to go into this article. A lot of it's a part of a video interview as well, so I have that link up in the show notes for you. You know, we're always looking for ways, alternate ways to, you know, create fuel. Ethanol, you know, to many of us that have gas-powered lawnmowers and stuff have always been you hate getting ethanol gas. Matter of fact, we go out of our way to find non-ethanol gas for our small motors because the ethanol just gums them up really quick. But scientists have been able to turn CO2 into fuel with solar power. And this is some exciting stuff. Now, it's yet to be told on whether or not, you know, it's energy efficient. But researchers at University of Illinois at Chicago believe that they perfected the art of photosynthetic solar cells as a technology that mimics a plant's ability to inhale carbon dioxide and, with water, convert it into a glucose and oxygen. The system is capable of drawing in carbon dioxide, processing it into a synthetic fuel that could be used to power vehicles. Theoretically, this device could create a cycle where climate-altering carbons could be removed from the atmosphere and pumped back into a vehicle. So the artificial leaf contains a pair of solar cells that power an infinitely more complex version of a electrolysis that most of us learned in high school. Energy from the sun is used to catalyze a reaction with various obscure compounds like nanoflake tungsten, disilindide. I don't even know what that is. Synthetic gas comes out of the other side, which can be used directly by vehicles that can take it or convert it further into diesel. So now the key is to find out really how cost effective is it going to be. You know, can you actually do this and create more energy than it really costs to make it? So the scientists are getting smart. They're going to figure this thing out at some point. And then the Saudis are going to be out of business. Won't need their oil no more. But I think we're a ways away from that. All right, 2000 MacBook Pro. You know, I'm very close to being in a market for a new MacBook. I'm hoping to get at least one more year, not maybe 18 more months out of my MacBook. But I've started to watch the MacBook announcements a little closer. But if you're in the market for one, the rumors are that the 2016 MacBook Pro will have an OLED touch panel and with a strip above the keyboard, and it will also come with a Touch ID. That's been the kind of the rumor, but people say that those rumors might be a little bit aggressive. So we'll see when they refresh the line what we're actually going to get. But who knows? Maybe it'll be so great that I'll actually want to jump the gun a little earlier. I don't think so, but the model I've got now, wow, what year did I buy this thing? Does it even say about this Mac? Let's see here. What year was this thing? It doesn't say. There's a way to figure it out when you actually dig into it a little bit. There's a little code you can find out. It tells you born on date and all that stuff. But so far, pretty happy. You know, again, for what I use my Macs for. I still am a primary Windows user, though, but equal opportunity OS user. All right, the F-35 targeting system, the specific laser, according to the Register, will almost be impossible to use in the UK. So I don't think most of you know this, but any aircraft, any they have to go through basically, I don't want to call it a licensing type deal, but if they are emitting, you know, on non-standard frequencies, they have to basically get permission because they don't want, you know, much of the spectrum now is licensed. And, you know, if someone's going outside of an area, you might be in, you know, so even military aircraft, they have to, you know, pass a lot of, I guess, emission licensing, if that's a better way to say it. But the F-35's electro-optical targeting system includes a target designator laser and a laser rangefinder. So, without going into a lot of technical details, you can read about this online. It's obviously probably a different frequency, right? So because of in the UK, certain spectrums are licensed in certain ways that the F-35 legally and non-combat roles will not be able to use its full full suite of sensors, according to the Register. So so some training may be limited in the UK, and I don't know if the UK's bought any F-35s or not, but they may have to probably modify the sensor package to be able to this is the reason why. According to Defense Range Safety Committee, the F-35 is only cleared to use a designator laser in the U.S. under very tight controls. These include a ban on any optic devices being within 33 kilometers of the aircraft when a designator switched on, and no observer being allowed within 9 kilometers. Wow, an observer, that's a person, within 9 kilometers, an F-35 operating as a designator laser. The designator is the one that they put on a target that, you know, when they drop a bomb, the bomb goes towards the target. So an RAF officer told the Register that the restrictions are normal on new equipment. It's trial phases and will probably be eased as F-35 trial programs continue. similar laser systems are fitted to the Typhoon and Tornado aircraft that are been flying for many years with the RAF. So anyway, just, you know, we've a lot of stuff recently coming out about military systems that's been in the news, which is kind of interesting. You don't normally see some of this stuff just being reported on, but definitely lots of discussion about it. So, oh, you know, we talked just a little bit about Rio because of Zika, but I guess the Olympics are getting ready to kick off and they're having all kinds of trouble. You know, the poor athletes are going to get to stay in dormitories that are, you know, fraught with issues like the sinks falling out and, you know, no, you know, electrical and cabling. You know, that, for those of you that are listening, I'm showing a picture of basically a wall with ports with like three cables coming out, going into a splitter. And actually no port for TV, no electrical. These rooms have no tables in them, shower heads that are broke, sinks that actually don't give any water, furniture not being put together. You know, I guess considering Rio's financial situation, that we're probably lucky that we have, you know, rooms at all for people to stay in. And they're warning people not in, you know, this is a problem. You know, I've traveled all over the world and, you know, they tell you don't, you know, they're warning the athletes not to let the water get on their head. In other words, when you take a shower, wash your body and then use bottled water to wash your hair and your face. Here's kind of a telltale sign. You flush the toilet a couple of times and not having used it, look at the color of the water, number one, or pull the plunger on the sink and fill the sink for water and look at the water. Generally, if you're in a third world country, the color of the water would be a good indication not to drink it, but, you know, showerability, that kind of stuff. At least that's been kind of my rule. Maybe that isn't a good scientific rule to follow, and maybe Andy Brown can weigh in here and tell me if my thought process is right. But one thing I've always done traveling overseas and taking a shower is that when I do wash my face and wash my hair, I keep my mouth and keep my eyeballs shut. And you know, soap up, wash your face, keep your eyes and your mouth closed the whole time, breathe through your nose, and let the water run off. Shake it off, squeeze your face with your hands. That isn't going to prevent everything, but, you know, the last thing you want to do is open your mouth and wash your mouth out with the shower water while traveling. That's just as bad as drinking it. So, but there's been some reports from the Olympics folks actually said, don't even wash your hair, your face with the water coming out of the tap. And that's pretty scary. You know, bottled water when you're traveling overseas is always advisable. There's only a few places where I travel today that I have no problem drinking out of the tap. You go to Japan, I have no problem drinking out of the tap. And a few other places, but, and believe it or not, Bahrain, fantastic water there, desalinated, that water there was great. But, other places, and especially in Asia, some places, no, 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 no. But same may be true, I guess, obviously, what's going on in Rio. Anybody in the audience going to the Olympics? Love to hear how it works out for you. And of course, probably most of you that will be going will not be staying in Olympic Village. You'll be staying in a nice 3 or 4 or 5-star hotel. Who knows? All right, those of you in the UK, the BBC iPlayer is going to require a TV license starting in September. For years, people have used the BBC iPlayer as a way to avoid the license fee. If you watch everything on demand rather than tuning in live, it meant you didn't have to pay the age-old subscription. The British government wanted to close the so-called iPlayer loophole for some time, and finally their wish is being granted. From September 1st, you'll need a licensee for anything TV-related by the BBC. It doesn't matter which device you use, smartphone, PC, or setup box, everything will count. The license fee is a decisive topic, obviously, in the UK, but that's the case. And be aware, that is forthcoming. For those of you who live in the UK, I'd love to hear your your thoughts on this. Those of you that have been to the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., you probably know that the Smithsonian has spent nearly 2 years repainting the Enterprise and basically getting it back into a presentable shape. And the paintwork alone was pretty impressive. There's an amazing video on Vimeo that you can watch. It talks about the restoration process, but it's going to be exciting to be able to, if you're getting into the National Air and Space Museum, to be able to see the Enterprise on display. So very, very, very exciting on this. And might be next time I'm in the D.C. area, I'm definitely going to have to check this out. I encourage you to, too. Hey, Facebook Messenger is coming with a secret conversation feature. I'm not at all. And I use Facebook Messenger from time to time. It's not my favorite app to use. And it's actually quite annoying that it's outside of out of Facebook itself. Of course, it's long been outside of that. But this Facebook Messenger secret conversation feature has shown up. Now, I thought every conversation in Messenger was already secret. It makes me wonder what is, have been open comms up to this point? I don't fully get it, to be honest with you. You know, it's point to point already, but they're saying this is more private. Offering end-to-end encryption. I guess regular Messenger messages have not been encrypted. Makes you go, just a little bit, huh? So the secret conversation feature is only surfaced in a beta Facebook Messenger at this point, which means it's going to take a while before this feature is made available to everyone. Users should keep in mind that secret conversation will not be turned on by default, which basically means end-to-end encryption will not be turned on by default. Users have to manually turn on the feature for each individual conversation they want to secure. Moreover, an encrypted conversation is limited to the device it was started on, so you can't pick up the secret conversation you started from your smartphone on your laptop. You won't even see it online when accessing Facebook through the laptop. You know what this is? Oh, boy. So what this is, I'm going to tell you exactly what this is, just reading that. That means in Messenger, on your mobile phone, you can have a conversation with someone, and if your Facebook account's logged into at home, it won't show up. So those of you that use Messenger now know that if you're on your mobile device and you have a Messenger conversation, the pop-up will be on display on your desktop as well, or easily accessible. So are they doing this to... Makes you wonder who they've set this up for. I bet you that this is going to cause issues with family members. You know, husbands talking to people they shouldn't. Wives talking to people they shouldn't. Kids talking to people they shouldn't. And really nowhere to monitor it on another application? Very, very interesting. I know someone, him and his wife have they both run some sort of software that basically sends each other a message each day that tells each other which websites they're on. I was not aware that such a thing existed, but he was telling me about it, and but it's basically a way for couples to, I know that this couple is happily married, so I don't think there was a trust issue, but maybe it's more of a ongoing trust type thing. Or if any of you, and I don't know what the application was called, if any of you have heard about this, let me know. But it basically sends a detailed report every day by email to the spouse, basically telling the spouse where you have been and vice versa on the internet. To me, I was just like, it seemed a little odd, but I understand maybe why some couples would use it. But have you guys heard about it? Have you guys used it? Let me know. All right, Facebook and Twitter are trying to track YouTube stars with ad money. As YouTube stars, they don't have to share videos directly to Facebook or Twitter because they say there's no money in it. But right now, Facebook has confirmed they'll test a bunch of different formats that give creators a cut of the ad revenue. In one case, they'd get the same 55% as they would on YouTube. Wow. So that's good. My videos don't get enough traction on Facebook to warrant any revenue share. Oh, man. Hey, down you, all of you down in Australia, I have to admit, you can be a little bit fun at times. I guess many Australians are claiming Jedi as their religion. In a government census survey, and 5 years ago, 64,390 Australians put Jedi down as their religion, an increase of 58,000 from 2006. So the government's encouraging people not to put Jedi as their religion. And also, an atheist organization is also recommending that you don't put Jedi down. But I think it's pretty cool. I think when the U.S. Census comes around here, I'm going to put Jedi down as my religion, too. That, if that's even an option to do. But it's kind of funny, yeah? Or Android will now tell you when a new device accesses your Google account. I've seen this for a long time. I don't know if this is new. This seems to me like something I've seen for a while. No surprise there. Hey, there's a good article over on truckyeah.jallopnik.com, and it's basically calling out a guy went to a Ford event. And by the way, this particular writer, he probably won't get invited to a Ford drive event again because he made a big stink about them not talking about mileage numbers for the F-250. And most of you don't know this, but based on a vehicle's towing and weight carrying capacity, at a certain point, you don't have to report what the actual mileage numbers are. And anyone that's buying an F-250 or above, let me tell you, you probably don't care what the gas mileage is, because if you can afford it, you can afford the fuel to go in it. But an F-150, they do post the mileage numbers, but he figured the F-250 got about 14 miles a gallon just in some of their drive test. But beautiful vehicle for sure. Write up on this on the website. Let's see here. Let me skip this one. I got a lot of stuff tonight, not enough time. IBM's new virus filter could lead to home diagnostic tools. A new nanoscale exome sorting technology could pave the way for liquid biopsies, which that's pretty crazy. And, of course, they're saying the best way to treat a disease is to be able to detect it early. And this little sensor they hope to be able to build into a diagnostic chip would basically be able to do a saliva and urine samples at home and be able to do reporting back to your doctor. So fluids are filtered through a series of tiny pillars that separate elements by size. The technique has been used in the past to isolate parasites and other large targets. Now IBM has used silicon technology to build nanoscale DLD process capable of targeting exomes, demonstrating that DLD can be used to filter objects in the 20 to 110 nanometer scale. And that's small enough to detect a virus or markers that could be associated with potential cancers. Should roll this up a little higher for you guys to see, those of you who are watching. So it won't be long before, you know, instead of going to the doctor and giving a blood sample, we're just going to prick our finger, or we're going to go in the bathroom and, you know, urinate into a cup and stick the sensor in or spit on it or something. It won't be long, and the doctor's going to say, thank you for sending in your test results. And, oh, by the way, we're going to issue a prescription based upon, you'll never go see the doctor. It'll be a robot that'll make the decision. There still seems to be a bit of a fight going on in Nashville. Google's having trouble. AT&T's being very slow in making room on some of their poles to basically let Google Fiber run their cables. Google's asked permission to move the AT&T cables for them, and AT&T saying, no, our unions won't allow that. You're taking money out of our workers' pockets. So basically, AT&T is slow-rolling Google's access to those poles. The reason they can't go underground is because of the type of, and I didn't realize this, but it sounds like it's pretty hard to dig trenches because of the limestone bed beneath the Nashville, and they have no choice but to string above. But the one that they did bury, they cut a gas line, so they've had a little bit of a trouble with putting stuff in. You know, you have to laugh about this. We talked about the Hillary's campaign being hacked and DNC and, you know, two or three organizations. Well, Russia is saying that spies, yes, spies, planted malware on critical infrastructure. Russian military networks and other critical infrastructure have been hit by tailor-made malware, according to government officials. Networks at some 20 organizations in Russia, including scientific and military institutions, defense contractors, and public authorities, were found to be infected with malware, the Russian Federal Security Service said Saturday. The range of infected sites suggests that the targets were deliberately selected as part of a cyber espionage operation. It just looks to me like it's like, you know, posting news to help divert message. Well, the Russians did it. It probably was actually the kid in Jersey, and now in Russia, you know, probably some kid in Moscow did it. But Russia is said to be the source, not the target, of course, of another government-related cyber attack. They're going to talk about the DNC. All right. Well, anyway, we all know about that already. But anyway, quid pro quo, what it sounds like to me. There's a new website coming called Outline. It's called The Outline. It's coming by Josh Tobolsky. He's the guy that was behind Engadget and co-founded The Verge. We'll see what he has. It's coming later this fall, but if you want to check it out, it's going to be at theoutline.com. You can sign up to get announcements about their launch. Amazon has patented a noise-canceling headphone that lets you hear your name. So you can have noise-canceling headphones on. If someone says, hey, Todd, it'll come through the headset, which is kind of cool because oftentimes people in a work environment, someone will be trying to talk to you, and you may not hear them at all. YouTube is now encrypting 97% of its traffic. So I thought we kind of talked about that before, but they actually quantified the number. There's also a new 4K camera out that is a 360-degree camera. It's called 360 Fly. And I know a guy that just bought one of these and got access to one. He took it to Comic-Con, and he lost it. $495 is what the chunk of money that went out of his wallet, or $499. It comes with a 64 gigs of internal memory, telemetry sensors, and an e-compass. The camera pairs with the user's smartphone, so it's controlled through an app. The most notable thing, though, it's the fact is the camera is slightly rugged. It's shockproof, dustproof, and water resistant. So again, 360 Fly. A lot of these cameras are coming on the market. So stay tuned as the price is going to come down and more offerings are going to be made available. The guy who bought the leaked No Man's Sky copy reaches the center of the galaxy. Those of you gamers know what that means. But apparently this dude paid a lot of money for a pirated copy of No Man's Sky. And over 30 hours of play later, he has made it to the center of the universe. He says he doesn't, he's got a lot more to explore, and he did an expedited route to get there. The game manufacturer actually says it would take between 40 and 100 hours to reach the center. Some fans are worried and confused. So anyway, I'm not familiar at all with this particular game. For those of you who are, there's just a little heads up. Have any of you gotten a Nigerian scam email recently? Well, a Nigerian authorities arrested an alleged mastermind of $60 million worth of online scams. 40-year-old, who authorities is known as Mike, that's kind of a weird name for somebody from Nigeria, is also believed to convince one person to pay out as much as $15.4 million. The man was arrested in Port Harcourt in southern Nigeria. Continue to expect to get the Nigerian scam emails where you have to give them money to supposedly get more money back. Ha, ha, ha. Just be careful out there. Don't fall for this stupid stuff. VW is working with the state of California and the federal regulators on their VW's 2.0 TDI diesel engines are actually going into drive test. So there may be some relief coming for those of you with VWs. Also, Google's finally added HSTS encryption to Google.com, meaning if you go to http.google.http https://google.com. It'll actually switch you to HTTPS automatically. So that means anytime you go to Google now, you will be on a secure connection, even if you type it in incorrectly in your browser. The Virgin Galactic, they have gotten an FAA license to start flight testing its space plane. So they now have a commercial operating license for Spaceship 2. The company's space plane is designed to take passengers into suborbital space. A license granted by the FAA allows Virgin Galactic to begin conducting flight tests of the vehicle to see if it's capable of carrying paying customers safely above Earth. However, the company has yet to announce when those test flights will take place. So they say they got a bit of work to do, and of course they have to go through a bunch of stuff to make sure that the FAA is going to be happy on flight worthiness and all that. Don't worry. It's only going to cost you $250,000 to get a few minutes of weightlessness and to go into space on this platform. SolarCity has agreed to the $2.6 billion buyout of Tesla. I thought this was already done, but apparently they finally reached the final agreement. And of course, they have to go through regulatory approval at this point. But interesting buy by Tesla. I think this is a bad idea, to be honest with you. SolarCity is laden with debt. They do have a lot of customers, but I guess it ties into that whole deal of putting the solar panels on the roof and putting a Tesla battery on the wall of the house. So I'd like to add a couple of those to my house, just the batteries. I already have the solar stuff. Okay. All right, Wired. I have the ad blocker turned off. Oh, remember last year the Jeep hackers that drove the Jeep off the road, and there was a pretty extensive video on that? Well, these guys are now, I guess they're legit. Who do they have a job with? They've got a job with... You've said thank you enough. Let me turn this on. They basically hooked into the vehicle this time, not remotely, and demonstrated some more takeover stuff. These guys are working at Uber's advanced... Oh, my God. Wired. I can't believe... You're upsetting me greatly. Anyway, the article is that they're demonstrating how a vehicle, if you have direct access to the brain, can shake the steering wheel, do all kinds of crazy things with braking and so forth. I have a link up in the show notes for you. And if you have an ad blocker turned on, don't scroll on the page once you get in there or turn your ad blocker off before, because you won't be able to read the article. Hey, if you did not get Windows 10 free, well, here is who it's still available for free. If you qualify, the free upgrade still if you use assistive technologies, which includes features such as a magnifier to better see the screen, a narrator to read text out loud, keyboard shortcuts, and an on-screen keyboard. Such tech is designed to provide additional accessibility to individuals who have physical or cognitive difficulties, impairments, and disabilities. So those folks can still get a free upgrade to Windows 10. And you'll have to agree to a couple of things beforehand, but you still can get the upgrade for free if you need to use assistive type products for those of you that are vision impaired and hearing impaired. Okay, the FCC's forced TP-Link to support open source firmware after $200,000 fines for basically transmitting at higher levels than they were supposed to. So the TP-Link is going to have to make some of the routers available to run open source software. I don't know how many of you are actually doing that, but that's part of the agreement, which is a little bit odd because there were some rules that came out recently that makes it harder for you to run, open source on routers, but at least that's part of the deal. Hey, the Apple TV remote app for iPhone is out now, so be available of that. Apple's released an Apple TV companion called iPhone Remote App. So if you use your Apple TV a lot, just use your phone versus finding the remote and make sure there's a battery in it. All right. Coming down here to the end. Let me skip that one, skip that one. I've got this iPad Pro. I've had it now about a month, maybe a little longer. And I've used it as much as I possibly can. And I actually get a keyboard for it delivered tomorrow. But... Apple's new iPad really wants you to believe the iPad Pro is a full computer. Let me tell you, it's not. It just isn't. It's not. It's a tablet. And even though you can do some stuff, it's got a bigger screen and you can use a pen, and it's still a tablet. It doesn't act like a computer. Now, if you're used to doing all your work on a tablet, it's probably will be a great computer for you. But it's not something that I want to do a lot of super creative stuff on. I don't want to render videos on it. You know, you have to use a different tools. It's just different workflow. I just don't think it's a full computer. It really doesn't come across that way to me. It still is a big tablet to me, and you're running the same apps as the regular tablet software does, or regular iPad does. And speaking of tablets, tablet shipments dropped to 3-year low during the second quarter. Business used to have expected to grow, but it's not at this point. And they are seeing a glimmer of hope that for devices and business demand is going to grow. But what it is our tablets last a long time. So the need to refresh is not as often as it is in buying mobile devices. I think we all can understand that. Hey, if you've never used Google Apps, there's some great training stuff available for it. Google provides training material. So if you want to get someone trained up on using Docs or Sheets or you know, the other types of Google apps that are available, link on this will be up in the show notes for you to get in and get some of that training for someone that's less inclined to use it. Hey, a couple of side notes here. HBO is confirming that Game of Thrones Season 8 will be the last one, but a spinoff might be coming. Interesting. So that what side story are we going to tell? So very, very excited about 2 seasons left of Game of Thrones. Also, if you are a science fiction reader or a fantasy book reader, I found a new posting, and I don't know when The Verge started doing this, but it lists all the new books coming out in August. So I've been heavy reading at this point. It's just good for down when I'm trying to get some downtime. But anyway, that list will be up in the show notes. And finally, Disney tonight has locked down the newest Han Solo actor for a possible trilogy. So very, very cool. This will be very, very exciting if they're able to do this. So they're going to milk this thing as much as they can, right? Okay, let me go back and look at, I've got some comments that have come in tonight. Let me get to the right email account. And we've been going long. I know the shows have been going long. I hope that you guys bear with me. It's been a lot of good news. I hope you guys have enjoyed the selections of contents. But an email from Bill. He said, "Hey, Todd, you can be pardoned even if you're not convicted. Ford pardoned Nixon." But I thought, okay, Nixon resigned without actually being charged, I guess, right? So I was alive for that, so I should know. So Ford pardoned Nixon. Also, Bill is the one that turned me on to the Wi-Fi dongle. Hey, Don, there's a little saga with the with that Mac. I got to go buy an SSD for it. The hard drive blew in it. So I got it running up, got it rebuilt. It was working great with the Wi-Fi. And then it the hard drive quit. So that machine needs, and I'm going to put an SSD in it. It's, you know, perfectly good for my son. It's got a couple of years use out of it for sure. But of course, my son's like, "The Wi-Fi dongle don't work." I'm like, "Of course, Chris, the machine is dead." So I got to buy a hard drive for it. So if it isn't one thing, it's another. But yeah, perfect. Thanks for the suggestion. Also, did you guys see my Facebook post? If you haven't seen this, let me tell you something. I put a video up, and it was filmed by pilots that were flying to Chicago, I guess, is where this was. And when you see this thing, I'm just gonna tell you. We've talked about UFOs on this show. And I've told you guys that in my lifetime, I've seen 2 UFOs, right? Saw one when I was a child, and I saw one post 9/11 in a place where there was nothing. And and I wasn't the only witness of that. Matter of fact, a guy I was flying with, in my Facebook post, I asked him, "Hey, Eric, did this look familiar?" So, what I am seeing in this video, I am here to tell you, looks pretty. Give me chicken skin right now. And these three dots, I saw one, but it looks one heck of a lot like what I saw post-9/11 over the desert in a far, far away land. It looks the same. And so much so, I want you guys to go look at it on my Facebook page and look at this video. Again, this would have been 2000, oh boy. Oh man, probably 2002 maybe even late 2001, very late 2001 when I saw this. And a little different backdrop. The image I had was I was above looking down. This is looking parallel, but our aspect was we're looking down on this thing off to the side, and it was a single object. So, someone tell me what this is, because it looks the same. If anyone has an explanation what this is, and if this is faked, I'm going to tell you, that's what I saw. One dot, not three. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You guys get a chance to see what I saw. 2001, 2002 time frame. Looking the same. The only difference is this was about 4 o'clock in the morning. So it wasn't even dusk. It was dark. I mean, pitch black dark. So, anyway, that be it for the show tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com. I left you with some mystery, yeah? Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can leave a comment at Geeknews on Twitter. I want to thank you for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for tuning into today's show. Look forward to be back with you on Thursday for a Friday release of the show. Those of you who are brand new to the show, hope we hooked you tonight. Want you to join and become part of the long-term Ohana. Everyone, thanks. Take care. We'll see you next time. Take care. Aloha.